Let's turn to John chapter 11. And I really enjoyed the worship. Thank you, Jun and the team, and the testimonies and everything. And I feel like it's just a perfect beginning to the message today. And the title of the message today is called The Now Word Dash Faith. So I'm going to talk about faith. And last week, we're talking about the now word, which is don't be afraid, it's me. You know, and so I want to just kind of, pile on top of that a little bit, talking about the now word for today. What is the message of God for Solomon's Porch today? And the word that I'm getting is faith, and I'm going to talk about faith a little bit today. And I'm going to use John 11 as my backdrop in talking about this, as a central character here being Martha. So let's read John 11. Let's start from verse 21. John 11, 21. We'll go to 44. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Even now I know that whatever you ask of God, God will give you. Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me shall live even if he dies. And everyone who lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I have believed that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And when she had said this, she went away and called Mary, her sister, saying secretly, the teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she rose quickly and was coming to him. Let's move on a little bit. Let's go to verse 38. And Jesus, therefore, again, being deeply moved within, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, remove the stone. Martha, the sister of the deceased, said to him, Lord, by this time there will be a stench, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou heardest me, and I knew that thou heardest me always, but because of the people standing around, I said it, that they may believe that thou didst send me. And when he had said these things, he cried out with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he who had died came forth, bound hand and foot with wrappings, and his face was wrapped around with the cloth. Jesus said to him, unbind him and let him go. Amen. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for what you're doing, God, in our day, right now, God, to us and the people around us in our community. And Lord, we want to be like the sons of Issachar, God, that understand the times that they're living in, God, that understand your heart, Lord, and what you're doing in this time and this age now. And so, Lord, we humbly come to your scriptures, God, and we ask you to speak to us, Lord. Teach us, God. Lord, and to that end, God, we ask that you release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. Lord, I humble myself, God, and ask that you use me today to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. We thank you, God. We love you, Jesus. And in your precious name, all God's people said, amen. 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 So John chapter 11 is the death and resurrection of Lazarus. And so let me take a few steps back and just talk about that for a little bit to give us a framework or a background to understand what's going on. So Lazarus, Jesus finds out, is sick, right? And basically, he's dying. You know, and the scriptures very interestingly tells us that Jesus actually hears the news and stays back a few days longer. You know, and this is just a kind of a point of reference for many of us because we'll read passages like this or we'll have circumstances in our life. And a lot of times what happens is when we believe or when we think that God is delaying something, what are the things that we automatically assume? Most of us assume that God doesn't love us. You know, this is very, very prevalent, right? Something happens that shouldn't happen, or something doesn't happen that should have happened, you know, and these things happen. And, you know, like, God, I thought you loved me, and these kind of worries and anxieties basically come out to the forefront. Well, I think John probably understood that, you know, and so he tells us right in the beginning, if you look at verse 5, he says, now Lazarus loved Martha and her sister, right? I'm sorry, now Jesus, right? Love Martha and her sister and Lazarus. And then he hears, and then he stays 2 days longer. You know, it's a very easy tendency, Right? To think that God doesn't love us when our prayers are delayed. Right? This passage tells us very, very, you know, succinctly, very straightforwardly that this is not true. You know, sometimes when our prayers get delayed, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you. Right? You know, what it really means is God's about to do something in your life. You know, and so please don't automatically make that perspective, you know, make that change. You know, and the key is in understanding passages like this or understanding delayed prayer is actually having perspective. Later on in the passage, you know, Jesus is talking to the disciples and he tells them, he says, hey, we got to get going because Lazarus is asleep, right? And so we got to wake him up, basically. You know, and the guys are like, well, you know, if he's asleep, you should leave him alone, right? You know, and you know, I mean, they're totally missing each other in this passage. But this is such a beautiful picture of human perspective versus God perspective. And I want to go back. I'm going to talk about that at the end of the message today, right? So just keep that in your brain. You know, the human perspective is he's dead, all right? There's nothing we can do for him. God's perspective is he's only asleep. He's going to wake up from his nap. You know, I mean, it makes it look, it seems so different. Even when we look at death, right? You know, to us, death is final. You know, the philosophers, you know, they say that death is really philosophy's only problem. You know, and so when we look at this thing, right, it's so final, but in God's perspective, death to the believer is just taking a nap. It's a nice little rest. You know, and when we go to sleep and we take a nap, we wake up into a new day. We wake up into a new adventure, wake up into new possibilities. That's what death and sleep and, you know, all these things are. All right? This is, you know, trying to understand perspective. You know, many times what we see and what God sees is very, very different. Remember one of my favorite passages in the book of Ezekiel. You know, Ezekiel, God talks, begins to speak to him. And what does Ezekiel see? Ezekiel sees a field of dry bones. What does God see? He sees an army. So different, right? We're so different. Our thoughts and his thoughts and it's so contradictory, right? Ezekiel just sees an empty field of bones, basically a grave. But God sees an army. And he calls that army into being, right? Faith is seeing what God is seeing, right? Faith is having God's eyesight. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the convictions of things not seen. You know, we could also add to that, right, that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, right, because you see what God sees. Right, it's not seen because we're natural, but when we see through God's lenses, man, faith is erupted, you know, in this place. It's his sight. You know, true faith, friends, is not about us, right? And we a lot of times tend to make the fixture of faith us. In other words, it's my will to believe. You know, maybe you're going through some situation and you are willing yourself to believe. That's not faith. Right? Faith is not about us. Faith is about him. Faith is not trusting in our ability to believe, but faith is trusting in God who has the ability. You know, and I find a lot of times in my own walk and my journey and others around me that the focus becomes about us. It's how much faith I have. You know, but it's not about that. It's, is God true? It's about him. And when we fixate and focus our attention on him, right? Faith can arise from within us, right? It's about trusting him regardless of what happens. It's about taking God's perspective on the matter. You know, we sang that song, you know, Jung led us, you know, Blessed Be Your Name, right? And I mean, beautiful song. You know, Matt Redman wrote this song, and that's what he's talking about, right? Lord, I praise you, I bless you, no matter what the situation is, no matter if the world is all as it should be, or if there's pain in the offering, Lord, blessed be your name. Right? We can live in the reality that our eyes see and our perspective, or we can choose to live in the big R reality of God and his perspective. Right? It could be very different. You know, John Wesley, you guys know he's one of my favorite characters in the world, right? And Wesley wrote in his journal, this Friday, January 23rd, 1736, He was coming from boat back from America after spending a few years in failed ministry to the Indians of South Carolina. And he's going back, and there's a huge storm, you know, on the sea, and he thinks he's going to die. And so he writes in his journal, this is what he writes. He writes, "A terrible screaming began among the English. The Germans, though, calmly sang on." Right? The Germans here were the Moravians that he had met. And so I don't know if there's any Germans in here. Be very proud today, okay? Right? "The Germans calmly sang on. I asked one of them afterwards, 'Were you not afraid?' He answered, 'I thank God, no.' I asked, 'But were not your women and children afraid?' He mildly replied, 'No, our women and children are not afraid to die.'" Wesley in his journal will continue on this thought. In that moment, he realized, right, that up until then, he had what he called a dry land, fair weather faith that does no good in a storm. In his panic, Wesley only focused on his current danger and the imminence of death. He lost sight of God's promises and the centrality of Christ in that life of faith. This is a very clear picture. Here's Wesley and a bunch of Englishmen on this, boat, and they're screaming, they're wailing. I mean, they think they're going to die. What eventually happened on this boat, that the mast actually had torn and had fallen off. You can imagine, these guys think this is it. And so he's going crazy, and all of a sudden he hears this singing in the midst of everyone else screaming, and he goes and says, basically, why are you guys so happy? And they get to this whole huge discourse, and this actually really affects Wesley and his whole ministry going forward when he gets back to London. And this dichotomy, right? Wesley, his reality is he's going to die. His reality is the ship that's going to go down, the storm that's around him. To the Moravians, the reality was God is in control. That God is my Lord and Master. That God, right, is in this thing. And if I perish, I perish. But my hands are in God's hands. Two totally different things. And this beautiful phrase, right? He says, "I realized I just had a dry land, fair weather faith that does no good to me in a storm." This is the now word for us today, right? We're in this hour that we need to walk by faith and not by sight. Friends, this is not a time for dry land, fair weather faith, right? For many of us who are in a storm, right, and circumstances in that way require a different kind of faith. Not a dry land, fair weather faith, but a different kind of faith. What I want to do is I want to take you through this narrative of Martha. And I want you to focus on Martha and her faith journey. This really incredible passage really takes us this journey of Martha, right? And for many of us, this could be a journey of 20 years. It could be a journey of 10 years, maybe months. But in Martha, this is a journey of one afternoon, which really sums up, this whole faith journey that we walk in. Jesus led Martha in this passage to confront her faithlessness and to recognize for her the limitations of her faith. So let's look at Martha. I have three simple points, okay? Number one, Martha's faith was limited to circumstances. Martha's faith was limited to circumstances. Her faith was limited. It was based on circumstances. If you read in verse 21, Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." If you had been here, my brother would not have died. Her faith was limited. It was based on circumstances. The death of Lazarus meant the end of Martha's faith. Right? Her limited faith restricted the power of Christ in her life. She believed that Jesus had the power to raise her brother up from the sick bed, but not from the grave. Lord, you can heal sicknesses, but look, this is a whole different matter. If you had been here, he would not have died. So it's over now, right? Let's go to the funeral procession. Let's say goodbye, and let's move on with our life. Unfortunately, the end up happening is because of this limited faith, right? Christ, is restricted Matthew 13:58, Jesus is in Nazareth. This is what he says. And he did not do many miracles there because of their unbelief. Right? He says he did not do many miracles. I mean, the grace is that he actually did some miracles there, right? I mean, that's grace, right? But he couldn't do all that he wanted to do in that person's life or in these people's lives because of their unbelief. You know, Martha possesses just this limited kind of faith, right? Because it's limited because it's based on circumstances, right? Friends, this hour that God requires of us is a faith that goes beyond circumstances, a faith that goes beyond health conditions, a faith that goes beyond the lowness of our bank accounts or wherever it may be, right? What's required now is a different kind of faith. You know, limited faith is controlled by circumstances. It's motivated by fear and of failure. And that's not the faith that God needs to rise from us in this hour, right? So Martha's faith was limited to circumstances. Number two, Martha's faith was limited to creeds. It was limited to creeds. Her faith, we could say, was fundamental, right? Jesus tries to kindle hope and faith in Martha by stating that her brother will rise again. But all Martha can respond is to recite a great truth, right? So verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother shall rise again. He's trying to encourage her. He says, hey, have faith. I'm about to do something here. And what does Martha say? I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day, right? All she can offer in this trying time is a creed, right? Is a fundamental idea, right? That's not enough. You know, Jesus then turns to her and says, hey, look, I am the resurrection and the life. You know, Jesus saying that he has all the power over life and death, and then asks this question of her, you know, if you go down to the end of 26, do you believe this? Right? A challenge again, right? You know, trying to raise her up to something. He says, I am the resurrection. I have the power over life and death. Martha, do you believe this? Right? And what does Martha offer back? Another creed. Right? She turns and says, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, even he who comes into the world. And that's it. You know, in certain stages and times in our life, friends, creeds are not enough. Creeds are not enough. You know, and I believe in creeds, you know, and so I'm not saying wipe them out. I mean, we start every service with the Apostles' Creed, right? I mean, if you come to church on time, that is, right? You know, and you should, right? Otherwise, you know, you probably don't know what's going on. But we recite that, and for me, I feel like it's important for us to continually to, you know, to state, you know, voice out our beliefs. You know, this is what we believe in. This is what our faith is standing on, this rock. You know, and so I believe in that. You know, but Martha, in this way, she evades the question by stating her fundamental faith in her creed, right? It's not enough to believe in a creed only. Faith must go beyond our creeds to the living, all-powerful Christ. Jesus wanted faith, and all she gave back was just a bunch of words. You know, this is not the time for words. This is not a time to state what we believe in. It's really a time for action. So the third one. So Martha's faith was limited to circumstances. It was limited to creeds. The last one, Martha's faith was unlimited. But it's an incredible journey of what happens. Let's see this journey unfold. At first, right, Jesus turns in verse 39. So he comes, he cries, all these things are happening. And then he turns over, right, and he tells her, remove the stone. Remove the stone. You know, and at first she says, no, I don't want to remove the stone. Right, man, Lazarus is going to be smelly after 4 days, right, in this tomb. There's no way. Right, and you know, This is not going to happen. And then Jesus turns to her in verse 40, says, did I not say to you, if you believe, you will see the glory of God? And what happened? She removed the stone. You know, there's going to be moments in our life where maybe we're focused on circumstances. Maybe our faith is just a bunch of head knowledge, right? It's fundamental. It's just verses that we memorized or, you know, teachings that we've heard here and there. And then eventually there comes a time where our faith, right, in a American, you know, idiom, the rubber meets the road. You know, there becomes a time where our fundamental faith, where our circumstantial faith, right, comes to the point and God asks us, church, remove the stone. In other words, trust me. Jump. Let go. Right? Do something out of the ordinary. In other words, create space in your life, some place where God can be God, where He can do exactly what He needs to do. You know, remove the stone. I believe in our life, and many of you individually, as a corporately in our place, I believe the challenge is laid before us, and God is saying to us, hey, remove the stone. Right? Give God the space and the opportunity to be God. Not because we're focused on ourselves, not because we're focused on what we have to offer, right? But so that God can do what He needs to do. You know, though she objected in unbelief at first, after Jesus' challenge for her to believe, she moved into action. Right? He turns to her, and this is such a strong word. Says, didn't I tell you that if you believed, you will see the glory of God? And what does Martha do? Martha removes the stone. She's okay. The stone is removed, and she saw the glory of God. See, it's interesting. And I want to challenge you in this room here that maybe you've not yet trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, but you're hearing the messages, and it sounds reasonable to you, you know? We get knocked down by intellectuals and, you know, so-called philosophers and atheists, you know, about our stupidity and believing in this, you know, in this invisible God, you know, that we worship every Sunday. And I know the arguments, you know, but yet you're here today. You know, something is going on. Let me challenge you. You know, in the world, right, we have this idea that people say seeing is believing. I want to suggest to you that's actually not so true. And it's not so true in the guise of how God works, right? The way God works is you believe and then you see, right? Faith comes before sight. It's just one of these things, right? And you know, because there are people all over the Bible, you know, I mean, if you look at the history that said, if you do this, God, I'll believe. And God does it and they still don't believe. You know what I mean? You know, and it requires a little jump from us. You know, I mean, it's not asking you to jump off the bridge, but it's kind of like, you know, the picture I get is like kind of, you know, do you remember the first time you ever jumped into a swimming pool? You know, and like, you know, off the diving board, and like, you're scared, right? But you're just like, am I going to survive? Am I, you know, and then you take a jump and you realize, oh, actually, it's quite fun. You know, the Christian faith is kind of like that, right? It's a little scary at first, you know. I know because I was in that place as well. You know, and then He just asks you to jump. You know, and then you realize, wow, it's not as bad as I thought. In fact, it's quite fun. In fact, it's quite liberating. In fact, it's quite refreshing. You know, and makes me want to jump in the pool right now, right? And you know, there's something about that. You know, Martha believed and waited to see the glory of God, and she was not disappointed. Romans 10:11, Paul tells us, the scripture says, whoever believes in Him will not be disappointed. Right? Faith comes before sight. You know, when I was a youth pastor, I graduated from university, and I came to Hong Kong that summer. This is 1993. I came to Hong Kong, and my plan was to live in Hong Kong and, you know, and play basketball and, you know, serve God and do all these things. It didn't quite work out. You know, I hurt my knee, tore my ACL, had surgery. I ended up going back home. And over the course of about, you know, about a month and a half, I ended up getting my first job. And I don't know if you guys knew, but I actually was an accountant. You know, I know I don't look like an accountant, you know, but I was an accountant, and I worked at a bank, and, you know, I enjoyed my job. I actually like order. you know, I like neatness, right? And so the accounting actually goes well with my personality and everything. And so, and I was doing that. And at the same time, God was opening these doors for me for ministry. And in November of that year, I took a job at a church as a youth pastor. And, you know, I didn't know what I was going to do. You know, I just knew I had to preach twice a week, and I thought that was just crazy. You know, but I just took a jump of faith, and I just trusted God. You know, we go on, and it's May of the next year. And so I've been doing it, you know, for about, like, you know, 8-7 months or so. And I'm praying one day in my quiet time, and God says, quit your job. I'm like, interesting. You know, and my initial, you know, reaction is no, right? Because, you know, I'm getting a part-time salary from my church. It's $1,000, you know, a month, right? You know, living in Southern California, you know, driving the car that I was driving, right? I had a Toyota 4Runner, you know, it's a 4x4 gas guzzler, right? I can't live on $1,000 a month. That's impossible. You know, and especially I was getting a good salary, you know, from my work as an accountant. And so, you know, as the word comes, you know, quit your job. I'll take care of you. You know, wrestle with that for about a month, you know. And then you have to make the choice. You either jump, you know, or you just keep doing what you want to do. And thus you don't experience God. See, a lot of us, you know, we think, you know, quit your job or something. And, you know, you want to feel like, well, what's coming up then? I'll quit my job if I have another job. You know what I mean? Or, like, it's got to be a better one too, right? You know, I'll quit if there's some kind of security. If there's, you know, something in the pipeline, right? And, but it was just quit, right? Just quit and just trust me, you know? And just really wrestle with that for a while. But then, see, it's not about what I, you know, like, what is inside of me. It's about, Lord, do I really trust you that you are God? You know what I mean? It's not about, you know, do I have enough faith to do this thing? No. It's about, God, are you God? Do I, you know, are you trustworthy? Will you take care of me? Yeah, he's God. And then the decision becomes very simple, right? And so I end up, I turn in my letter of resignation. You know, I quit at the end of June, and which led into the summer, right? And, you know, long story short, what ended up happening is after I just served that summer, the senior pastor of the church, just out of the blue, you know, asked me, says, hey, would you like to work full time? You know, and at that time, there were no full time youth workers, right? I was the first one, right? And, you know, and I had the one with the least experience, right? And no seminary education, nothing, you know, and he just says, you know, we'd like to bring you on full time. That was August. And you see, you know, how things happen, and in between the months, I didn't struggle at all. You know, I mean, I probably ate better than I did, you know, because I mean, basically I was going to everyone's house to eat every day, and things. And so, you know, you know, because now you have more free time, right? You can do those kind of things. So you don't have to work anymore or work in, you know, in the secular job. You know, and it's amazing. I've seen time and time again where God says, "Jump, just jump." You know, and we want to say, "Okay, well." You know, is there a net, you know, or what? Am I jumping into a pool or, you know, okay, you know, it's like, yeah, we know we need to jump, but Lord, let there be something there to catch me or something, you know? And he just says, jump, just jump. I read this really great story, right? It's this boy, one night a house caught fire. A young boy was forced to flee to the roof. The father stood on the ground below with outstretched arms, calling to his son. He says, jump, I'll catch you. He knew the boy had to jump, right, to save his life. All the boy could see, however, was flame, smoke, and blackness. As can be imagined, he was afraid to leave the roof, right? His father kept yelling, jump, I'll catch you, right? But the boy protested, Daddy, I can't see you. The father replied, but I can see you, and that's all that matters. So just jump. You know, that's a beautiful picture, right? We may not see everything, but God sees. He has a different perspective on the matter. We may feel like God's challenging us, that we're going to jump off the Himalayan mountains, you know, into nothingness, you know. I mean, it seems so vast like that. And God says, no, actually, I'm right here. I'm like a foot below you, right? Just jump, man. I got you. You can't see anything, but I can see you. So just jump. Just jump. See, it requires a little different kind of faith. where Martha was finally able to give was an unlimited faith, right? She is just that time of, Lord, okay, I don't understand this because my brother's going to smell. And if you're okay with the stench, that's fine. You asked me to do something, all right. Fellas, remove the stone. All of a sudden, Jesus begins to move, right? I really feel like for many of you guys sitting in the room right now, this is a remove the stone moment for you, moment for us as a church. There are a lot of things going on, right? A lot of very good things, a lot of troubling things, a lot of trying things. And God is asking you, hey, remove the stone. Take a step of faith. Just a little bit of movement, because faith requires a little bit of action, right? That's when it becomes something. See, it's not just head knowledge. You know what I mean? It's not just, oh yeah, in the last day, yeah, there'll be a resurrection. You know, it's not just, you know, it's not what Martha offers. It's not just a bunch of creeds, you know, or it's not just something that's circumstantial, right? What God is requiring us is faith that has action, or that should say that is action, right? Faith that says, okay, guys, let's move the stone. Whatever it may be, it could maybe be a relational issue, it could be a job issue, it could be a health issue, right? I mean, there could be so many different things, you know, that is a part of this thing, you know, but when God asks you to remove the stone, you move it. Just obey, right? And imagine those words, you know, and we have difficulty like Martha does, and he turns to us and says, hey, didn't I tell you that if you believed, that you will see the glory of God? That if you believed, that you will see His glory. You know, and it's the grace of the Lord to just take Martha step by step. Notice, you know, Jesus didn't rebuke Martha. You know, He didn't like get down on her case. You know, when I read this, and this actually came from a devotional in the morning prayer this week as I was teaching on John 11. You know, and the whole time afterwards when I was praying, I just saw this picture of Jesus and Martha. And I just saw, you know, the Lord just take Martha's hand and just walk her through this faith journey. You know, step by step. Yeah, your faith was limited. Yeah, your faith was circumstantial. Your faith was just a bunch of creeds. It was just fundamental. And I just see the Lord step by step and even get into the culmination where He asks her to do something and there's resistance that comes. And then Jesus just takes her by the hand and says, hey, didn't I say to you, if you believed, you'll see the glory of God? And so then she finally obeys, right? And, you know, and I feel like God's taking us on a journey right now. You know, many of you, it's a very serious journey. You know, I mean, it's life and death, you know, hangs in the balance. But yet, feel the strength of His hand on your hand as He leads you step by step by step. We may be at this time to only offer up a circumstantial faith, a limited faith, you know, a faith that's just words and not deeds, you know, a faith that's just a bunch of thoughts or verses strung together, you know. But when it comes and He says, finally, remove the stone, right? Be ready to see the glory of God arise in your situation. How important is faith, right? Martin Luther, he said this. He says, God our Father has made all things depend on faith, so that whoever has faith will have everything, and whoever does not have faith will have nothing. There's just something profound about that, right? He has ordered the universe in such a way that those that have faith, you'll have everything, and those that do not will really have nothing, right? This is a challenge that's before us, right? This word of faith. I'm going to close with this in Luke 18:8. Challenge for us. The Lord says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Let's close our eyes. I try to keep it short, just to give us some time to pray. Do you sense God speaking to you today about removing the stone? Do you sense Holy Spirit nudging your heart about stepping out, about jumping? And I just wanted to give you a time today to respond to Him, to respond to Jesus, who is taking us by the hand. Friends, in this hour, our circumstantial faith is not going to cut it. It actually never has. Our fundamental faith is not going to cut it. Quoting some creeds, spouting some verses is not enough. It's going to require a faith to remove stones. Jesus will talk about faith that moves mountains. That's the faith that's required for this season of our lives. We're not kids anymore. You know, and I love Jamie's testimony today, and I'm not talking about being mature. I'm actually going back and being like a child. That simple trust, because God is so big. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. Let Him just whisper in your heart. What's the stone that He wants you to remove? What's preventing you from seeing the glory of God? And as Jung, I just want Him to lead us in a song. And as we sing that song, or wanting you to seek the Lord, what is God challenging you to right now? And after the song, we're going to come together and pray together.
Turn back to me when the darkness.
as our eyes are closed and our hearts are open to the Lord, we want to pray with you this morning. And if you're at a place right now and you feel like God is asking you to remove that stone, that God is asking you to jump. Jump. It's not easy. Just jump. He sees you. He's going to catch you. And you're going to see the glory of God upon your life. I want to pray with you. I want to ask God to strengthen you. If that's where you're at, it's a simple thing. You feel like you're being challenged this morning, you know, to an expression, right? A different kind of expression of faith in our Christian experience. Right where you're at, just raise your hand. All our eyes closed. Just lift your hand up to the Lord. Anyone else? Just leave your hand up there, as we typically do. And everyone whose hands are not raised, open your eyes, take a look around, and see our community around us, where people are being challenged right now. Let's pray for them. Let's pray for the strength of God. Let's pray for the grace of God. All right, keep that hand raised until you feel some hands on you. Christine is in the front here. Carmen, Genevieve's in the back. Let's just pray for them right now. Let's pray for God's strength upon them. Let's pray that their faith would not be dictated by what they see, nor by what they're experiencing, but on God who sees, and on God who loves. Let's just pray for our friends right now. Pray for a different kind of faith for one another. Faith not to believe for the outcome, but faith that stands regardless of the outcome. That's the faith that we need in this hour. It's not what we can muster up so we can get what we want, but it's regardless of what happens, we stand, we're unchanged. Because we know who our God is. Pray for a new expression of faith over our friends. Let's keep praying. Let's continue to pray and minister to our friends. Let's rise to our feet. Let's sing this as an anthem of our faith. Regardless of what comes into my life, Lord, blessed be your name.
Darkness closes in, Lord, still I will see.
Pray together. Father, we thank you, God, for your grace, Lord, your generosity towards us, God. We thank you, Lord, that many times when we offer to you our circumstantial, limited, fundamental faith and creeds, God, that you're not angry, Lord. That you just take us by the hand and you just lead us and bring us to the place, God, where we can act upon what we believe. Lord, we believe, God, that you are calling us individually as a church to remove those stones in our life, God. Lord, to take that step of faith, to jump, Lord, and just to trust you. And so I pray that you give us the strength and the willingness, not because we will it in our life, God, not because we're strong, mature, Lord. Lord, but because we understand who you are. You are God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You are the resurrection and the life. You are the Lord God Almighty, who is, who was, and who is to come. We thank you, Father. So, Lord, we invite in our lives a new expression or a different expression of faith. God, no longer a dry land, fair weather faith, but Lord, a faith that stands even in a storm. We thank you. Lead us, God. Guide us. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Why don't you hug someone next to you and say, hey, remove that stone. Bless you this week.